You are listening to Potential Cast, Season 6, Episode 14, Older and Far Away. The guests at Buffy's birthday party are surprised when they realize they've been at the party for almost a whole day, and even more surprised when they realize they can't leave. Dun,
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 dun.
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyria.
And I'm Kelly.
What just happened?
Whoa. Illyria was taking
what?
Time. So
oh,
Kelly
yeah.
Joe was scrubbing the dead
I introduced
air.
Myself before you.
Sorry
if
no,
you're
you
offended.
Didn't. Maybe I'm on a delay with you guys.
I think you're on a
can
tiny
Can you guys
delay.
Hear me?
Yeah,
we can.
Yes.
There is a bit of a delay, guys, so I'll try to keep that in mind.
Okay.
Okie doke. It's Buffy's birthday again.
Again?
Yay.
Nothing good can come of this.
Hey, Steph.
Yes.
Can you explain to us noobs what the fuck the title means?
Okay, I've got this in my notes somewhere.
Because I don't really get it. I mean, is it that she's older than she was, but she feels all distant and far away? I don't really get it.
I have this here somewhere, and I'm looking for it.
Well, while you look for that, I'm going to play a little
yes.
bit of audio feedback right away.
Yay!
Here's here's a voicemail from Paul Mackey, who actually used the telephone to call us.
Oh.
Here we go. Should load soon.
Hello, through the miracle of cellular technology, this is Paul Mackey calling from our cabin on the shore of Lake Leander here in the Iron Range area of Minnesota. That's a cottage to you Canadians. Calling about... Older and Far Away. I had two things. One, I don't remember the exact origin of the title. I remember I looked it up, and when I looked it up, it still didn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. When it's a reference to a literary thing, it still doesn't make any sense. I'm sure Stephanie might have looked it up, but it doesn't make any sense. Anyways, that's the title. And then I don't know if this meets the classic definition of a bottle episode, because it does have the, you know, the fight scene out in the cemetery probably, and then it's got a scene at the school in the counselor's office and in the classroom. So, you know, that doesn't quite make a bottle episode in my book, but I don't know. There's maybe some other television pop culture expert can say whether this is actually a really real bottle episode. Anyway, those are my two thoughts, and I will check in with you guys about As You Were. I believe it was the next one, so I will I'll call on that one at some point in the near future. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, in my research, I never saw it called a bottle episode, so it must not be.
Is that and when I'm, the whole episode happens in the same place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually to save money.
Right.
And that froze up. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yep, no problem.
And another thing, I never saw... anybody mention it's at the beginning when Buffy says shining, and is that where Firefly got shiny? Is that where shiny came from?
Yeah, I
is
was
it just
wondering
a
the same thing.
Maybe it's just a coincidence.
Because I heard her say it. I'm like, oh, is that where it started? Is that where it started?
Yeah, I've never saw where anybody has mentioned the two together. So, okay, Empire of the Sun. episode title, Older and Far Away, is a quotation from J.G. Ballard's novel, Empire of the Sun. It relates to the story. It relates the story of a wealthy young British boy, Jim, living with his family in pre-World War II Shanghai. During the Japanese invasion, he is separated from his parents and learns to survive the hostile streets before being captured and sent to a prisoner of war camp. The novel was turned into a movie by Steven Spielberg in 1987. Dawn's class in school is studying Empire of the Sun. Her teacher says, if we can come up with things Jim lost during his years in Shanghai and things he gained, I can't come up with anything either. Unless it's
Me neither.
It's nice sounding title. I don't know.
It's weird because it doesn't, it really doesn't relate. You know, Double Meat Palace, it's clear. Gone is clear. Dead Things, super duper clear. And now you have Older and Far Away. And it's like, all right, I kept waiting for something to be older or far away. That didn't happen. And then Dawn said the thing she said, and I wanted to punch her through my television device.
Do you think the thing she said should have been the episode title?
Yes, because they couldn't do the thing that she said because of the wish in Halfrick.
Yes.
As much as we like to make fun of little Michelle Trachtenberg or whatever her name is, she looked really good in this episode.
Her hair is so pretty.
I thought she looked super adorable.
Would you write a song about her?
No. Oh, but I was like, okay, she doesn't look like she's 12 anymore. And I was like, they're a pretty girl.
I think they were trying to do that because that was like all of the things that she was saying. You know, I'm in high school. I can handle things. I know what you guys are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's my Michelle Trachtenberg impression. Do you think I'll get anywhere
Anya
with it?
Anya at her most
yes.
patronizing. Anya at her most patronizing. It was hilarious.
Anya was great in this episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought she was fantastic. She had a great point when she was at the kitchen table talking to Willow and everyone. I thought it was awesome. Would want to go out of order, so.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great. I'm like, finally! And she said it in a way that wasn't like trying to make herself stupidly sound smart. You know what I mean? She just said, listen to me. She's a damn witch and she's damn good. We're about to die. Do your magics.
And then that other thing happened.
Yeah.
Where Tara decides to get in the way and say the words that, and every time I hear them in anything, make me cringe. No
to
one
get
say
to
those
her,
words, please.
You gotta go through
no, don't
me.
Say it. That's, you stole like, my quote of
sorry,
agony.
Words.
Sorry, you can mute it out and save it for the end.
She says the words, Goblin King, Goblin King.
It seems like I read somewhere that, that Tara did the same, Willow did the same thing. It was reversed in maybe the episode Family.
Yeah.
Sure.
That seems about right.
And so now Tara has a backbone. She's stood up to Anya.
Well, she's friends with the Slayer
Anyone
now,
else?
So she feels more confident.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did anyone else freak out when Dawn was called to the guidance counselor and thought someone else had died?
No.
Yeah, it did kind of bring back.
I thought that the police were going to be there and they were going to book her for shoplifting for whatever reason.
Oh,
I don't know why they'd go to her
that
school.
Been awesome.
But that's what I thought. Like, we have surveillance of you. Can you explain yourself? That's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Hey, all this stuff's been missing lately, and we heard it's all in your locker.
No, it's in her jewelry box.
Ugh.
Oh. She just wants attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cry for help.
You see, when I was Dawn's age and I wanted attention, I would guest on podcasts. Then. So I guess this is the best logical way.
Yeah. You should have just stole stuff.
Yeah, I mean.
And then, you know. At least you would have had stuff instead of meeting a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, I know.
Look what I stole.
Anyway.
TwitPic.
I recently started following someone on Instagram who, not all his pictures are this, but many of his pictures are him illegally on structures you're not supposed to be on and taking amazingly gorgeous pictures in New York. So, wow. Like, on top of the superstructure of the Brooklyn Bridge, his feet dangling from, like, a 75-story building. Just, like, adventure photography, like, urban adventure photography. It's amazing. If you're interested, the his username, I'm assuming it's a him. I'm being sexist. His or her username is Last Suspect.
Obviously.
And it's just fantastic. Just fantastic. So I recommend that to everyone and everyone here and out
well,
there.
Well, on that topic, I think his name is B. Manuel. He is doing, every day he's doing a Buffy episode title. He's doing a like a gorgeous picture and combining it with a episode title. Pretty neat.
Is he doing them in order? And
yes.
You know, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's great. Very cool. No, he's not like dumping cold water on himself, is he?
No.
As part of this? All right. Hey, as stupid as I think it is, it actually is getting money raised.
That's
so,
what
you know
they
what?
Say.
Congratulations, everyone.
Yes.
I don't know how dumping cold water on people equals money. I guess people are donating at the same time, which I don't really get from watching these videos.
Yeah.
If you're right, exactly. Tom Hiddleston explains it.
Yeah,
he's like the only person I've seen that explains it.
Oh, really? I've seen
Tom
lots of people
Hiddleston
explain it.
Tom Hiddleston is a god amongst men.
He
see
really
what I did
is.
There?
He also nominated Benedict Cumberbatch. Do we know if he's done the video yet?
To my knowledge, he has not. I know it. Basically, it's you do it, and you get called out to do it, and donate a little bit of money. You don't do it, you donate more money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what something like my manager Josh is doing, he is donating $2 for every like, share, and comment that he gets on his post on Facebook.
Oh.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And he's also donating money to a water foundation. That way he can, you know, because people are being like, this is a waste of water, which it is. But, you know.
Yeah, there's so many complaining because there's like a drought in California, right?
Yeah, and now actors are like, this is recycled water.
You sure it is. From my bathtub.
Hi, I peed in this bucket and now I'm going to pour it on myself. Please donate money so others don't have to.
Recycled
water. So did anyone
here
actually like this episode?
No.
I like this episode.
You do?
I hated it.
There's one aspect of this episode that I really like, and it's
is it the
guy that
guess.
They're
Can
trying
I
to
guess?
Set up with? Please.
Oh, I was just going to say, is it the competition to see who brings the best friend?
No, but that was awesome. Okay, my favorite part was when the guy. That they tried by this delay is really pissing me off. You guys cannot hear me in time, and I feel like an old person. All right, it's the moment where Buffy's setup the guy they're trying to set her up with, is almost killed.
Oh, that dummy.
Because we haven't had one of these innocent bystander things. I know, but we haven't had one of these innocent bystander things in quite a while, right?
The good old red shirt.
He's also in a red shirt, yeah.
That's true.
There's actually two innocent bystanders. The other guy.
Sophie.
Yeah, Sophie.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her.
We all kind of did. I think the writers did, certainly.
Yeah.
I hope she comes back.
Sophie. All her list of allergies and intolerances made me feel a kinship towards her. For me, it's just dairy, but you know. I thought she was nice.
Ice cream, that's so sad.
You can't or you shouldn't.
You know.
But
I shouldn't because of, you know, I'll have issues later.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Right. So what do you guys think about Clem?
Clem?
Clement.
The demon?
Yeah.
Oh, Clem. I said Clem. I was like,
Flem.
I like Clem. He's funny.
I think Clem is really cute.
He's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He reminds me of the neighbor on Cougar Town.
Oh,
the bald guy next door.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aww. Like, oh, I thought that was the actor who did it because he has that same sort of like mannerisms. But
is this the guy who's married to the best friend?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I haven't watched enough to know.
Not the guy from Felicity.
Mm.
Not the one who's married to Nia Vardal or whatever her name is.
What?
The one who's in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Nia Vardalis? Vardalis? Does that sound right?
Something like that.
I should know this. She's Canadian. She's Canadian. She's in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Anyways, her husband.
Yes. Vardalis or something like that.
Her husband in real life is the guy on Cougar Town.
Oh!
The Spanish guy.
Hmm.
Anyways, that has nothing to do with anything. Let's keep going.
No.
See, I mean, rather talk about this than this dumb episode.
I'll tell you why I like this episode. I like this episode.
Why do you like it, Steph?
Because everybody is together. And it's not just mm-hmm. Anya and Xander trying to help the Scoobies out by reading some books in the magic shop and mm-hmm. hanging out in the magic shop. Everybody's together. That's what I like about this episode.
Even if they're forced to be together?
Yeah, and I think that it's a cute idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it came from a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never find this. It's like a, not Truffaut or, what's his name? It's like a French movie from like 30s.
I remember from listening to like some of the commentaries of Friends that the cast loved doing the episodes where they were the entire episode was just one big long scene. They took place in the apartment and they usually did it for Thanksgiving where it's just the whole thing beginning to end was just the one take. It felt like a play and they loved it.
Hmm. Well, I know that the Buffy cast hate the long scenes, like the scenes that take place in the magic shop or the library because they're so expositiony. Mm-hmm.
Well, granted, one cast member is off writing songs about the underage cast member.
Hashtag truth.
They're probably all just like, I don't know what to do about James. He's just... he's so creepy with Michelle. We need to talk to someone. Can we get someone? No, we really can't. This is all allegedly, of course.
Yeah. Of course. Well, I enjoyed I enjoyed everyone being together as well. I thought it was cute. I thought, I'm really tired of the Willow addicted to magic thing. Like, yeah. Big time. I resent it so much.
It's so overdone. Don't you feel that way, Illyria? Like, whenever she even talks about magic, she gets the shakes and she's like she's going through withdrawal again.
It's so stereotypical and terrible. It really is after school, especially, you know, and I think I understand what they were trying to do, but why didn't they just give her a real addiction? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. Instead of this,
it's weird. It's so weird. Why addicted to magic? And my hope of hopes, my secret hope is that something will happen and she will relapse. And when she relapses, she'll go bad, and then my dream will come true.
Mm-hmm. There's still hope. There's still time left in the season.
I hope so.
Luis Buñuel.
Oh, I got a delivery. An ice cream sandwich.
What?
But are you having a love affair with that ice cream sandwich?
Thanks.
I was just about to say that. You stole my quote.
Sorry.
I don't get it, should I?
Arrested development.
No.
You know, just the fact that you call it that, Kim, you're not ready.
Call what?
JD.
Never mind. Go watch Arrested Development. It's on Netflix.
I've seen every episode. I still don't know what you guys are talking about.
It's like the third episode. Why don't you just move to an ice cream sandwich?
Sorry, I missed the reference.
It comes back even later on an opposite end of the phone call. Why doesn't Pop Funko make an ice cream sandwich for their Arrested Development collection?
Agreed.
I'm just saying.
That would be amazing. Do they make a Franklin?
No, that also would be amazing, but they do have...
That would be the best. Can I be horrible and yet hopefully hilarious?
And hopefully not incredibly...
I want to see someone bring a Franklin puppet to the Ferguson protests. Yeah, and I want that puppet to get right up in some cop's face, man. That's what I want to see.
Oh
shit! Sorry, not you guys. I'm watching television.
Guys, we pulled enough money together. Do you think we can pay Will Arnett to go to Ferguson?
Nope.
To do?
Nope. He's a comedian. He's not an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
I know that sometimes the two get intertwined and intermixed. I thought Clement was really cute. I thought he was actually quite adorable. I really liked that he was dancing with, what's her name?
Sophie.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
He is funny. He is cute. But I hate that about this season, they made the demons funny. Mm-hmm. The demons are to be villains. They're to be scary. They're to be gross.
No, they're not. Angel taught us that you can like demons and that they can be nice and they can have awesome voices.
Yes.
You know?
Miss Lorne. Aww.
Lorne. Yeah, but Lorne. He was an exception.
Maybe Clement is also
Yeah, Clement's also an exception.
Okay.
He's exceptional. And Richard, who, I mean, that dick that Xander and Anya invite, is like, and I don't think that's a skin condition. It was fantastic. Dawn has a meltdown.
Ugh. Oh, gosh.
It makes me... remember what I think, Steph, what you said many episodes ago, and I think you've reiterated it a couple times, where the writers don't know how to write for a teenager. So you get Dawn actually being or exhibiting much more childish behavior than a teenager would. And they went back to the well of that thing she said. And not only did my face go, oh, because of what she said and our initial reaction, but mostly because are the writers being self-referential and funny, or are they really that oblivious that they don't understand how horribly exaggerated and unrealistic that was for someone who's supposed to be a teenager? I don't know. Maybe I don't know teenagers, but...
Yeah, I don't think they really realized. I think they were trying to be self-referential, because what episode was it in? It was like, it was one with, before Joyce had died.
Yeah. It was when she found out she was the key, right?
Yes, it was.
Was it? Okay, in Older and Far Away, Dawn screams, "Get out!" At Buffy in the game. She said the same thing to Buffy and Joyce in season 5's birthday episode, Blood Ties. Unless, that's a spoiler. The phrase is repeated by Glory in The Weight of the World when Glory is starting to become more human. What's he doing? Really let go, but get out, get out, get out. So Glory said it also. So the writers
are being... All right.
But, they don't realize. Okay, here I got a quote from Marty Noxon. Marty Noxon says about this episode, in an effort to deal with Dawn, with her state of mind and what was going on with her, how abandoned she had been feeling, we were trying to do a good haunted house story. Again, maybe not our best demon in the world. We were trying to wrap up the whole Dawn mini arc. Get it out on the table and get it out of the way. We did want to deal with it, and at one point it was pretty much over. A kind of a lapse was that Buffy and Spike were okay with each other after the events of the week before. That was one where we shot it and we're like, oh shit, see? Let me point out our own failings. You don't have to do it for me. I don't understand what that means. Is she saying that this was a weak episode? Is she acknowledging that this episode?
I think that's what it sounds like to flaws? Me.
Okay. Well, here are the flaws. At the beginning, Buffy says she acknowledges that the demon ran away when the demon was sucked up into the sword. Mm-hmm. And then later on, she says to Spike that she had killed the demon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was very confusing. So confusing.
Very confusing to me. I didn't know why she had the sword in her house. Yeah. It's out there in the middle of everything.
Souvenir.
I mean, I think she thought
she's not
it was
a serial killer.
Shiny sword. And, you know, a slayer must always have the latest weaponry.
Well, and she had taken weapons out to patrol with her, which I thought was weird. Had she ever done that before? Usually she takes a stake, but this time she has like some sort of big weapon that she's fighting this guy with.
Yeah. She like a designer bag.
Oh, and let's talk about Anya when she has her meltdown. It just seems like such a change in tone.
When she's like overheated and she's feels claustrophobic?
Yeah, when that starts it.
Well, yeah, that's why I was thinking later on when they were at the kitchen table, it didn't feel like Anya. Mm-hmm. Because again, she would have said something like this, and everyone would have looked at her and she would have been like, what? You know, but she didn't do that this episode. She's just sort of like, I'm done. I've had it.
I actually thought that was like the best part of this episode. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I like she, it. Yeah, she like, I feel like
when you're usually that one person that like will try to make light of things but also like be serious, when you like are overtired and just can't leave a room, you're just like, fuck it, I'm done.
Yes. Yes.
And I guess you can chuck it up to it's her new humanness that's making her behave that way.
Mm. Oh, good point.
I must say that it was the most realistic bit of conflict in the episode, yes. And it really had me kind of like, oh, this is like, man, this isn't her being awkward. This is her being like, I am all out of fucks to give you.
Yeah.
Stop pussyfooting around and help us.
Exactly.
Finally.
Get your shit together.
Hey, I have another bit of audio feedback. I'm going to play that. And then maybe we can do some Facebook group feedback.
Yeah, sure. Wrap this kid up early.
Here we go. This is from Moira.
Hey, Potential Cast. It's Moira. Just watched Older and Far Away. Right off the bat, can't believe they actually had Dawn utter the get out, get out, get out line again. Wow. After all of us having made good fun of that in the past, I'm not so sure it was delivered any better this time, to be honest. And I don't know if it's just me, but I'm just not all that engaged with Dawn's angst. I can't decide if it's because the character is a little bit two-dimensional, and I feel like, you know, she's always singing the same tune about feeling neglected and alone, or if it's just because I don't find that whole storyline all that interesting. I don't know. But for me, given that this whole episode revolved around Dawn and her angst, it was kind of boring for me, which makes me probably an unfeeling, inhuman person. But there you have it. Thought it was really cool, that moment when Halfrick recognizes Spike as William, which in the previous podcast your guest had alluded to, and I hadn't realized that's who she was, so that was kind of cool. Let's see what else. I guess just more about Anya and Xander, that you just don't get the sense they're clicking very well anymore. And I had intended to say in a previous feedback that, you know, whenever they talk about wedding plans or whenever they talk about that, you know, they might have doubts, I just find that all kind of boring. Again, I'm being so uncaring. It's not like me, but for some reason, it just it doesn't interest me. I don't care. It's like, okay, either break up, don't break up, have a good wedding, don't have a good wedding, whatever. So anyway, this one felt not exactly like filler, but a bit. It felt like they sidestepped off of whatever the main story arcs are. Like, for instance, Willow, once again, you know, held true to her promise, and she didn't cave and she didn't use magic. And again, she was sorely tempted. I thought it was interesting the way Tara came to her rescue. But that part of the story seems to be like, seems to me as if it's more central to what's been going on this season. So that part interests me, a whole lot more than the rest. And I was, again, a little bit surprised that she didn't cave. So I feel like I'm not going to get my wish fulfillment of seeing Willow go bad, and I'm a little bit disappointed. So I think my feedback reflects on me being a horrible human being. Oh, dear. Anyway, all right, as usual, can't wait to hear what you think. All right, bye for now.
Thanks, Moira.
Thank you, Moira. Yeah, Xander and Anya, they need to have something else going on other than the wedding.
Yeah.
Because that's all they talk about.
Yeah, but in real life, that kind of is how it is when it starts getting closer to the end game.
That's where true.
Everybody gets obsessed. To the point where that's, it's like, oh my God. Yeah, then that's literally all you can talk about, and that's all that's on your mind. And it's not necessarily because it's necessarily you, but everybody else around you is starting to. I mean, granted, we don't see what else is happening besides what's going on in their core group, but, you know, I'm sure people in their lives are asking about it constantly as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only discussion that, you know, the only thing that seems to be up for discussion the closer it gets to the day. And we're getting close to it, right? I think.
Yes.
I think so. If my Netflix preview scenes have anything to say with you, we're getting very close.
Preview frame. But you don't pay attention to those.
I have an email here from Missy. Hey, Gax. It's another Buffy birthday bash. Let's look at the guest list, shall we? Buffy, Dawn, Willow, Xander, Anya, Tara, Spike, Clem, I love Clem, Richard, and Sophie. Then there's the killer gatecrashers, Sword Demon and Halfrek. And they all get trapped inside the two-story house on Ravello Drive. Now that's a party! I have 3 points regarding this episode. I'll start with Willow. She and Tara are so freaking cute with their awkwardness and obvious love. Things get pretty bad in the House of Horrors, and we learn that Will squirreled away some gems and magical trinkets, which causes a little bit of friction between Anya, Willow, and Tara. Anya accuses Willow of being a slave to her addiction, and then Tara steps in and gives Anya a dressing down, which I absolutely adore. Tara is wicked badass and sassy throughout this episode. I mean, she gives Spike hell every chance she can get. Laugh my ass off. After a lovely pep talk from Tara, Willow survives the situation and is willing to try life without the safety net. Aww. Now to Anya. This is kind of an intense one for her. She comes across a bit more abrasive, short-tempered, and claustrophobic than usual. Causes her to lose her shit rather quickly with Xander, Willow, Halfrek, and Dawn. She expresses distress and sadness at possibly dying and or losing Xander. She chews Willow, and by association Tara, out, for things neither girl can really control. And then she goes on the warpath when it's revealed that Dawn was somewhat responsible for them being trapped. And finally, we come to Dawn. She accidentally expresses a wish to Hallie, but it sort of backfires once everyone realizes they can't escape her and her whiny shit. They start blaming her. So sad. Hallie says she could feel her crying out all over town, that she just wanted her family to spend time with her, which brings us to what she has... brings us to what she has been staying out past curfew doing. Well, stealing, of course. She's been pilfering from stores in Sunnydale. Total klepto. It's a way for her to get back at the people she loves for not spending time or with her loving her the way she feels she deserves. Sucks to be a teen. And we also get another scene with her patented... the thing she says. A side note, Xander handcrafted Buffy a stunning weapons chest. Swords through the chest can't kill vengeance demons. Hallie and Spike recognize each other. Buffy, quit celebrating your birthday. It never ends or begins well. From Simone. All right. Thanks for bringing us back to the crux of the episode, Simone. Yeah, that was a really nice chest.
Yeah.
The thing that Xander built was also quite cool.
But the
I still loved it.
The electric massager was kind of an awkward gift.
Ah, that massager. Was awesome. Oh, that's not a massager.
It's a type of massager.
No, that actually is a massager. Yeah. But I do remember the consumers distributed.
According to Sex and the City, not if you mount it. One of my favorite lines.
I
need to bring up another problem I've got with the episode. Okay, you know how Mulder has a genie? Buffy has a genie.
According to Intro to X.
Yeah. When she's talking to Dawn and she's like, oh, a guidance counselor. Like, she suddenly realizes what happened.
Yeah.
Because Dawn got to it. I don't follow. I don't
That was very, very quick detective work.
That was my SOD moment.
Mm-hmm.
A little too convenient for Buffy to piece everything together.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And so Dawn's been stealing. Guys, if you get a present that is clearly, obviously out of someone's price range, and the security tag is still on it. I mean, it will take something a right giant there. Chest to distract me from such a thing.
Illyrio, I have this iWatch here for you for your belated birthday. I mean, don't mind the security tag. It's all good.
Just work around it.
Just work around it. It's fine. But it's the iWatch. Aren't you excited?
Actually, I'm not very excited because I actually have a source.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That says.
That
says.
Magic 8-Ball?
No, I know someone. I know someone who's doing some contractual work for a specific fruit company who may or may not have been told to start preparing things for something that may or may not have been mentioned by Kelly Jo just now. So we'll see.
No.
Yeah,
so is an iWatch going to fall off the back of a truck for you?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Never again.
But
wouldn't want an iWatch.
I've gotten
when you've got
a non-denial denial. Exactly. Hey, Bruce sent us an email too.
Okay.
Hold on. Bruce has some sense. He only sent us an email for the next episode.
I'm gonna. You want me to read Rachel's?
Yes,
please.
Rachel writes. Hey, Gax and guests. I had to write in for this delicious birthday Buffy episode. I have several points to point out. Number one, Willow's gifted Buffy a back massager. Sure it is. Well, either way, it should reduce her stress levels, right? Number two, Tara, this must be the episode that I fell in love with her character. Not only does she flash not a little humor around, and she has always had loyalty, but this time we see more of that backbone that she showed to Glory in season 5 by standing up to Anya when Anya gets a little testy. She is a little awesome in this episode and no stuttering, so yay. Number three, look, I don't care who you are, what you build. Take your effing a turn, Xander. Even if Dawn had bought that jacket for Buffy, rolling your weapon chest all over her happy moment was immature and frankly mean. Ass. Well, I think
yeah,
it was
true.
That,
I agree.
I didn't see it that way. I saw it that Buffy would have continued to wonder about the security tag being on the jacket, but Xander rolling the chest in distracted her and she lost her. That's the way I took it.
Plot convenience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Number four, Halfrek is part of Anya's wedding party. Why would she want to trap Anya in the house with everyone else? I thought they were friends, bitch.
So was that actress supposed to look different from the guidance counselor on purpose? It wasn't the same
actress, right? I
thought
it looked exactly
right?
her. No, it was the same actress.
Was it the same actress?
Mm-hmm. That's, what's the,
she was the same one that was in last week's episode?
Yes.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a different actress and they just had curly hair and that was what we're supposed to link them together.
Mm-mm.
I didn't pay attention.
And
no,
she
was exact same voice.
Sicily. Sicily?
Mm-hmm.
Is that her name? Yeah.
Oh, the object right. of William's affection in poetry?
Yes.
I love that little exchange between
I don't think
them.
It was Sicily, mm-hmm. but yeah.
Mm, it was something like Sicily. Oh, anyway. All right. Number four. Number five. Dawn, quit your whining and get your own damn friends. Anyways, I'm keeping it short because I have a cramp. Later, sorry. Yes, and that was a highlight of
Bye,
the episode.
Rachel.
Spike being so jealous of Richard. Yeah, being just nasty to him.
Spike.
Richard should be dead.
Is that all
he
of
should,
our...
Yeah. He should have bled email. Out over the 12 hours he was stuck upstairs.
Tell me about
SOG,
it.
Right?
It's just wonderful to see Anya go from enjoying herself to being extraordinarily angry at everyone. And oh my God, when she realizes that Dawn was stealing from her, everything Anya was saying, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she's saying that, but she's right. Is this how you thank me? Oh, Dawn. So, we got
like
some Facebook feedback.
If Dawn could have discovered podcasting, she would have had a much different situation. Yeah.
By the way, it's been 10 years now that podcasting's been a thing. Happy birthday, podcasting.
Happy birthday!
You know what the first podcast I ever listened to?
Mm-hmm.
Make Your Own Kind of Music with Scott and Steve. Yep.
Awesome.
Mine was The Transmission. Mm. And then Jay and Jack. Mm. And then Mac and Saz. Yep.
Yeah, I think mine was Jay and Jack. Jay and Jack was my first.
Mine was The Office Alliance.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Mine was The Maccast.
Whoa.
Tech.
I remember I would download podcasts and I would burn them on a disc and listen to them on the way to work. So lame.
Hey man, you had to get your fix somehow. Yeah, and then it was Jay and Jack, I think, for me. And then TLI. Then Dharmalars. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. I never actually listened to Mayo Kombatsas. I think that was done by the time I listened to Lost Podcasts.
Oh, it was brilliant.
People gave us lots of Facebook feedback.
That's so hard.
Yay!
Facebook stuff?
Facebook!
You're the Facebook!
Wow. For an episode that I would figure would be reviled, there's lots of feedback. Patrick says, it's a done episode! Woo! Rich says, okay, so before I watch this, can you tell me if there's going to be a commentary, please? I'm scared I'm going to lose my mind if I keep watching season 6 episodes twice apiece.
Whoa.
Teofolo Roqueriva says, this is the episode that I always remember when people say that Dawn is annoying, and Tara is on a roll in this episode. She's having fun with that secret. I love her in this episode. I give this episode 6 out of 10 cool stolen jackets. Ray says, I don't find this episode terrible, but it's kind of just average. I like the thought of keeping all the main characters in one place and kind of forcing them to all interact with each other, but the reason that it happens is weak. Klepto Dawn and her whining is so annoying, but I do think that there are some good laughs, and I think Tara comes off really well. I like Anya and Halfrek, and Spike and Halfrek recognizing each other was great. I give it 5.5 out of 10.
I like that part too.
I think there's a very interesting thing happening where people are saying positive things and rating it like below average. Pretty cool. Val Pass says, I like this one a lot. Felt like the kind of Buffy ep we haven't seen in a while with the whole gang together. Probably one of the best Tara episodes too. I loved when she stands up to Anya to defend Willow. That's awesome. And her snarking to Spike about his muscle cramp was the best. She's really come a long way from season 4. I'm counting on someone to use one of her lines as their quote, don't let me down. Gak, so I bet you didn't expect to ever hear Dawn shriek her annoying get out lines again, did you? I made sure to turn the volume down beforehand because I knew that part was coming up and I didn't want my eardrums punctured or have them start bleeding. Dear Dawn, shut up! Points for continuity on Spike's eye bruises from Buffy's punches and dead things. Oh, Willow, Buffy totally dissed your back massager birthday gift. That chest Xander made was pretty sweet. When Dawn was whining that Buffy has all these friends, I was thinking, Dawn, are you kidding me? Buffy has like 4 friends. It's really not a lot. And I'm not counting allergic girl Sophie. So, Gak, did you think Anya was hard on Willow when she was yelling at her about the magic situation, or did you feel bad at a point? Also, Clem is kind of adorable in this episode. Floppy skin and all. 8 out of 10 muscle cramps in the pants. Someone else take over. I think my children are here to say goodnight. Hello?
Yeah.
Carol writes, in an earlier podcast, the thing about Halfrek and Cicely being the same person came up. This is the episode that spawned that. It has been said that the writers had not intended them to be the same person and added this little inside joke because it was the same actress. Later, a non-canon comic book was written that had them as the same person. Personally, I prefer them to be different people who happen to bear a striking resemblance to each other.
Yeah, I really don't like them being the same person. Like, it's just too coincidental that Cicely became a vengeance demon.
Yeah. Bruce says, all aboard the Sophie Clem ship. Dana writes, mixed feelings about this one. Seemed too convenient at times. Demon with sword who injured Xander's buddy, then carry him upstairs. Then Tara becomes exasperated with Willow for having some magic things in her house. Later, she supports her for not doing anything, even when it got bad. But it's as if she, Tara, can't make up her mind. And seriously, what do Xander and Willow think about Spike just showing up to celebrate the birthday? Bob Jagran writes, I'm not crazy about it, but it's the best episode in quite a while. Things actually go less wrong than in most Buffy birthday episodes. I like Anya, Tara, and Halfrek. I don't know whether they had intended Halfrek to have been Cecily before this, but I love that someone she thought was beneath her. As a bad poet is way cooler as a vampire. Clem might be the most only likable character in this season. I actually don't find Dawn annoying often, but she is here. Our friend you, Robin Bob. Says, Halfrick's face really bothers me, and I can say that because I'm sure my face would really bother Halfrek.
Would you like to tag Illyrio Ferreira? Ray says, my favorite thing about this episode is that it contains a bona fide red shirt whose only purpose is to suffer some misfortune so as to demonstrate the danger of the situation. Richard was a good man. I knew his father at the academy. Sylvia says, I enjoy this episode for the most part. I do love Tara teasing Spike and Tara standing up for Willow and, of course, Halfrek and Clem and the addressing of Dawn's klepto tendencies. The only thing that always brings it down is the constant Dawn whining, or should I say shrieking? Get those earplugs out. Yeesh. Definitely one of the better episodes of the season. Not the best, but certainly not the worst. 6 glass-cracking shrieks out of 10. You said it's one of the best. You give it 6 out of 10. Clearly, the Dawn factor is you remove 2 points.
Vicky says, okay, can we talk about...
Go ahead, Seth.
Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say, can we talk about, okay, Dawn being a klepto. It seemed like to me the only reason that's in the season was for it to be a red herring for Xander summoning the singing demon.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
Vicky says, I like the continuity with dead things. The demon disappearing and reappearing act, convenient, I know. Tara is awesome this episode, and I love Clem. Dylan says, it's Buffy's birthday, yet somehow is another Dawn-centric episode. Actually, I don't really mind so much at this point. I'm past the Dawn hate by now, up until she begins to act like a brat again, which inevitably sets off that annoying get-out alarm. Psst, they can't remember? Don't vampires heal quick? Why is Spike's eye still swollen? Also, why get mad at Willow for keeping a few magic items? These people are active demon hunters. It makes sense to have some of that stuff around in case of emergency. Like, how now, for example. Okay, it does, you know, sideways, but at least something, right? Remind me. How many Buffy birthdays have been celebrated during the course of an episode again? I only recall her 18th with that stupid council test. So, Halfrek and Spike do remember each other. Sort of. Love how Clem actually enjoyed the party. Bob, so far the birthday episodes are Surprise, Helpless, A New Man, Blood Ties, and Older and Far Away. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 5 out of 6 so far.
She's 22.
Carol says
23.
17. Buffy and Angel make love and he goes bad. Birthday. Season 2. 18. Council test. Giles betrays her. 19. Giles becomes a monster. 20. Dawn learns that she is the key and cuts open her arms. Good times on Buffy's birthday. Dylan says, thanks for the info, and that helps me put the event in perspective. So it's Halloween's, Buffy's birthdays, and drinking alcohol, the ones to watch out for. Someone else, go.
Carol says, Tara seems pretty consistent to me. And I love that she has grown a backbone this season. She is strong with Willow and then strong in defense of Willow. No magic stuff in the house for the same reason you don't want things associated with an addiction in the house of someone trying to kick that addiction. Tara is understandably disappointed that Willow is secretly hanging on to such objects. Then she follows through by objecting to people pressuring Willow to use magic. Makes sense to me. It also makes sense that Xander's friend would be the one to get stabbed. He is the only one in the house not already used to always being attacked by things. Spike Eye has not healed yet because Buffy beat him so bad that it's taking this long to heal. I'm guessing if he was human, he would have been undead. Diana says, still think Xander and all are blind that they don't see the relationship between Buffy and Spike. After all that time together and all we got was that one time Tara said something, great straight face. They figured out Dawn's secret sticky fingers and Anya's panic, but did not notice anything about Spike and Buffy, clueless or just want to be. And Diana says, on a plus side, who knew vengeance demons were not just for scorned women? Daddy issues.
Gabby says, ugh.
Yep. Corey says, grr, ugh. That was funny. Simone says, it's Dawn at her teenage whiny best. Ugh. Gary says, oh, God. And then I put up something. No. Okay. Ashley says, although Dawn behaves in a childish fashion, I feel bad for the kid because she clearly has a lot of issues, and it seems like not only does nobody notice, but probably don't care. She clearly needs help after going through so much pain, and she's a teenage girl with abandonment issues who's always alone. Granted, everyone has their own issues to deal with, but at least most of them have someone to deal them with. Not to mention she made an honest mistake with the wish. She opened up to someone she should have been trustworthy because it was their job and it backfired. As someone who'll turn 24 next month, I remember the mood swings as a teen, how hard tragedy hits you at that age, and how nobody acknowledging how things can affect you can make you feel the lack of empathy and love from others. I do love that moment at the end where Buffy decides to stay with Dawn in the end. Whenever the two sisters a bonding moment, it makes me happy. Like in the episode Forever when they expressed their feelings and pain while Zombie Joyce was coming and they hugged and cried it out afterwards. Tara standing up for Willow is one of my favorite moments. Tara was the damsel in distress a lot early in their relationship as Willow was getting stronger. Now the roles have reversed. Tara is standing on her own and showing she does have a nice... Tara is standing on her own and showing she does have a voice and protecting someone who's being treated unfairly. She also proved that she herself is a strong witch and was able to do the spell, even if it targeted the wrong thing. Halfret recognizing William the Bloody after all these years and trying to fix her hair a bit was a great moment. Makes you wonder if Cecily was a vengeance demon before or after William was in love with her. If before, it gives a whole new perspective to the line, "You're beneath me." Props to Anya for getting some decent hit on the demon. Fun and intense episode. It was nice to see the Scoobies together, even if there was conflict within the group. I give this episode 7 out of 10 bummer Buffy birthday bashes. Ashley.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. We appreciate your feedback.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any points before we rate?
Nope.
Nah.
All right. Kelly Jo, you are our guest. Go for it.
Oh, okay. So this episode's fine. Not the best, not the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So I will give it 6 out of 10 teenage meltdowns.
Hmm.
I'm indifferent to this episode. I really need a good episode because we have not had one in a long time. I'm just like, ugh, what is happening here? Yeah, it was okay. I thought it was a little bit too convenient how they figured out what was happening in the house. Anyways, I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 flesh wounds.
Hmm. I must say that this episode had me laughing, and it had me cringing, and it had me... I rarely have this feeling, but I was like, oh, thank God this is over. I don't have to watch this anymore. If it qualified as a bottle episode, it's one of my least favorite bottle episodes ever. Because for me, I didn't care that they couldn't leave the house. I didn't care at all. I just wanted the episode to be over because Dawn was being annoying. So I'm going to give this episode, because of Clem, I'm not giving it a 0. Because of Halfrick accidentally trapping herself in her own wish, I'm not giving it a 0. And because of Clem, I'm not giving it a 0. So I'm going to give this episode 5 out of 10 skin conditions.
Oh. Mm.
There were no stakes, or it was hard for them to find stakes. Like
Xander and Richard were going to be late for work.
Oh my God.
Like, okay, when the demon came out and stabbed Halfrick when she first arrived there, there was the stakes of, oh, well, if she's dead, then maybe we're trapped here forever. But yeah, there should have been higher stakes. Yeah.
Well, wasn't there that demon was trying to kill them? Isn't that?
Yeah, but.
You know what? I totally forgot about that demon. Totally forgot about that demon.
He was a lame demon.
It was a lame episode. Gabe?
Yes. Now, you have to remember, we're coming off of one of my most favorite episodes ever of Double Meat Palace. So this was a total stinker. And so we have a Buffy birthday, which is never, never a positive thing. And then we have a lot of Dawn. We also have awkward front yard behind the tree sex, which was painful, even though thankfully we didn't get to see anything, but it was still bizarre. Mm-hmm. I could not wait for this episode to be over, and I can't wait to stop talking about it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it 1 out of 10 stolen baubles.
Nah.
It sucked.
Wow.
It sucked.
So that's everyone?
No, not me. Steph. Whenever this is a very memorable episode to me. I don't know why. The idea that they can't get out of the house just always sticks with me. It's different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, look, it had problems and issues. But too much ADR. And then, like I said, Anya's meltdown seemed to, it changed the, it just got dark real quick, just an abrupt change in the mood. But I give it 8 out of 10.
Whoa.
8?
Awkward party guests.
I thought I was high.
Wow. Well. Wow.
What?
Well, wait, you know, you like what you
would
like.
You say? Hey, folks, that's what we thought. You can let us know what you think. You. What are you thinking right now? You. You can call us 270-40-BUFFY. Got it right. You can send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at PotentialCast. You can go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/PotentialCast. And you can go to PotentialCast.com to download the show directly. Take a look at our archives. Season 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are archived, folks. Every single one of our episodes is available for download directly from our website. And you know how much it costs? $0. It's free, woo-hoo! And it's all for you. So yeah, let us know what you think. We really appreciate feedback and all that jazz. Is it quote time?
Sure.
I think whoever rated the episode lowest should go first.
Oh, me?
It's always you.
Yes.
It's always this season blows. I mean, in my humble opinion. Much, yeah. Still. here we go. Still, say it's weird without kittens. Sorry, I got nothing.
That's awesome. It's me. I think it's me.
Sure.
Or Kim. Kim, you go.
Okay. Cursing us? Some of them are in the wedding party.
Nice. What? Like I'm one of those losers who can't make friends outside her tight little circle? No, I'm friendly. We bonded instantly. Peas in a pod. Bonded peas. Really? what's Sophie's last name?
I'll go. I'm glad you're trapped. How else can I get anybody to spend any time with me?
That's the moment at which I officially was like, drop dead, Dawn.
Is that an unofficial drop dead, Fred?
There will be no touching of the pendant.
All right, I think the last one we can all say together. Are we ready?
Get out! Get out! Get out!
Get out! Get out! Get out!
Ugh. The worst.
She's the fucking worst.
That's awesome.
She's the worst. Love it.
Hey, Kelly Joe. Thanks,
hey, Illyrio.
Thanks for being here. We love you. We're so happy you could spend some time with us again.
I'm so glad to be here. I'm so sad it's my last episode. At least
maybe not.
Maybe not. I've told Steph that if there's anyone who backs out and you guys need someone, if you give me 24 hours notice and I don't have a shift that night, I will be here.
Yay!
That's awesome. That's great.
Well, damn it.
Oh, thanks so much. And remind us again, where can people listen to you and stuff, or reach you, or see what you have to offer to the worlds?
Okay, so you can find me in a few places. You can find me at ObserverCast. You can find that at observercast.podbean.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr. My username is KellyJoe562 on both those places.
Sweet.
Awesome. Thank you, Kelly Jo.
Thank you.
Hey, Steph. Mm-hmm. What is on the slate for next time?
Next time, as you were.
Any predictions?
You know, that sounds like a gem of an episode.
Gem! Awesome. So, I want to thank everyone on the YouTube. Who's been watching? For those of you wanting to watch the recording of our next episode, we're going to be doing that very soon right here. And I'm just going to start a new broadcast. So I'm going to say bye to YouTube now, and then I'm going to play a song for these lovely ladies. So goodbye!
Peace!
Namaste.
Yeah. I'm like, Tommy,
see, I don't
why
like
do
his cheeks.
This?
Adam Scott's cheeks are a little bit too much compared to the size of his nose.
Yeah,
and it makes him look like a bit of a
chin.
Rodent. He has a bit
like
of a rodent.
A chin or yeah.
And he has
look.
Poofy hair.
But yeah, I could see why you'd think he's hot. This tie is atrocious, though.
I don't get yeah. it. Just like I don't get George Clooney, and I never have.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Time to start the show, Steph.
Okay.
There's nothing more left to say.
You're listening to Potential Cast Season 6.
I'm sorry. Episode. Enthusiasm, please. Or sorry. Okay. Sorry, Steph. More intensity.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman.